Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer recruiting experts. Now, here's your host, Chris Cousins.
Hi, everyone. Hope everyone's well. Chris Cousins here, the founder of Sports Recruiting USA, and welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast. We've got another good episode today. We've got Pablo Jara, who is a goalkeeper, used to be at Wingate University, three times All-American, and he's now playing professionally for Tormenta FC in the USL League One. He talks to my colleagues, James Dawes and Dylan O'Kane. Dylan used to play with him. He talks about his college career and everything around that, and what he's up to now, and where he's originally from, which is Chile. And just everything that's kind of got him to where he is now. So it's a great episode for everyone to listen to, especially aspiring players, aspiring college players, but just a cool listen to. We get a lot of college coaches listening to this. So just want to say a big thank you to everyone listening to the podcast. We really appreciate the feedback, especially at these times. And it's good that it's kind of filled a few spare hours that everyone seems to have at the minute. But it's good to see everything's kind of not returning to normal, but slightly getting there, and everyone's staying healthy and keeping away from the dreaded coronavirus. So that's it. Let's get straight into the episode. If you want to give us a follow on social media, just search Sports Recruiting USA, SIUSA. Tag us, send us some feedback, shoot us an email, whatever you want. It's always good to hear back from people. So thanks again. So this is the Inside College Soccer Podcast, and this is Pablo Jara, and hosts are James Dawes and Dylan O'Kane. Thanks, guys.
So, hi guys, James Dawes here from Sports Recruiting USA. We've got another fantastic podcast today. I'm joined firstly by Dylan O'Kane. Now, Dylan's one of our senior scouts over in Northern Ireland, doing a fantastic job at the minute. Dylan's formerly of Tiffin University and also Wingate, which is where he met our special guest for today, Pablo. But Dylan, how are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad, Dawesy, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, keeping as well as can be in the situation, mate, but it is what it is. And then obviously our guest for today is Pablo Jara. Firstly, thank you so much for giving up your time, Pablo. We really appreciate it. I know Dylan, me and Dylan have spoke off camera, and he speaks very highly of you, so we're excited to hear some of your stories and ultimately catch up with where you are today. So Pablo, do you want to just start by giving us a bit of an introduction on yourself?
Yeah, of course. Before anything, I just want to make sure I say thank you for the opportunity, and this is important to me, you know, like help and try to get to young athletes that probably can feel identified with my experience. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem.
And yes, go back to my story a little bit. I'm from Santiago, Chile. I grew up in a very humble neighborhood, with a lot of social problems, you know, like I'm not coming from a rich place. I'm very, very humble, what I say. So I don't want to use the word poor, but extremely humble. I start playing in a very high-level academy. It's a club called Colo-Colo. I get there when I was 10, 9 years old. And I left that place before coming to the U.S. When I was 20 years old. So 10 years where I learning everything about soccer, where they made this this goalkeeper and this person which was the values and principles than I believe today. In these 10 years I passed for have the amazing opportunity to be part of the national team, the youth national team, youth 15, 16, 17 and 20, and have a lovely opportunity to be part of the national team, you know, the big national team was massive player, was big player than to me in that time were heroes, you know, like I remember names, big name as Alexis, Claudio Bravo, Vidal. It was amazing experience to be part of this camp for 12 days. I think was exactly to say the day that I have the experience to live with them. I remember when I was 20 years old, I was training normal day, looking another day, try to get better and looking for get the dream that was getting to the first team in Colo Colo. And Gary Hemel, a coach from Wingate University, walked into my club facilities, and after 2 days in a row, he offered me a full scholarship. He offered me, I always say this now, he offered me way more than a scholarship. He changed my life at the end of the day. So I moved to America. Wasn't an easy call for me. Wasn't an easy decision because I didn't know much about Wingate. I didn't know much about America at all. I never planned to come to America. My only goal since I was 10 years old was just get to the first team, always. And then when Coach Gary walked into my life and opened and give me a little bit different options, was something new for me. And what I say, wasn't easy because I believe it that probably in America I would never be able to get my dream that was playing pro. Long short story, I moved to America. I have a fantastic 4 year at Wingate University. Unbelievable experience. What I say, this place and this coach changed my life. And after my 4 years, I have the great opportunity as well to sign a pro contract. I get my dream, and right now I'm here in Georgia, South Georgia, Tormenta FC, where I'm playing pro and definitely try to get better and better to get a higher level.
Good man.
So were you, you know, when you left Chile, Pablo, were you in a, you know, were you close to, you know, the senior team at Colo-Colo or, you know, was it, you say it's a difficult decision. So why, what was the defining factor in you eventually going over to America, do you think?
Because I was part of the first team in multiple days of the week.
Okay.
I didn't have a contract. So this is what allowed me to play in school, in college, mm-hmm. because I never signed the contract, but I was living with the pros. I was training with the pro every day. So this is why Coach Gary gave me in the right moment. Mm-hmm. Probably he get 2 or 3 months late. Probably I will have that contract or Colo Colo will send me to a second division team or a little like lower team to get mm-hmm. experience, to get minutes.
That's crazy. They say things in life happen for a reason, and you say obviously it was the best thing that happened to you. So it's such a coincidence that, you know, your coach walked in and saw you play in those days. So looking back now, obviously you're a professional now, so I think I already know the answer to the question, but is there any regret you think if you'd have stayed in Chile, you would have got to where you are today?
Oof, that's a tough one, you know. I always ask to myself a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. What if I will stay in Chile? I believe that I will keep being playing because for how I stayed so long in this very competitive team. Mm-hmm. Every kid want to play in Colo-Colo, you know, is the biggest team in the country. And playing the national team definitely will give me a decent opportunity to play in maybe a second division team, you know, mm-hmm. be there in the mid line a little bit, nothing top, but nothing probably the worst as well. So I would say the only part I looking back and I would like to do a little different was the education part, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as I signed for Colo-Colo and I knew that my way was the football. I left the academy side big time. I say, you know what? If I get the contract, I say my family, I will not need to work any day for someone, and my family would be safe, you know, would be like set. And I was completely wrong. So the education never were a priority for me. Go to practice every day. That was the only thing that give me the motivation to wake up every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. and when I moved to America, and this is another like fact, and why another fact than why it was complicated to me to say yes to Wingate to come to America was that I can't speak English at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, so like zero English and go to a college that is massive responsibility and about language and academy side. I feel then in soccer ways I was super prepared, mm-hmm. but in the academy side I was like very poor.
And that's a massive gamble, right? You don't speak English at the time. You've not really done a lot of research, but yet, you know, your coach comes to you and tells you about this opportunity, and that's a huge gamble. That could have gone, you know, the other way completely, but luckily it's worked out for you. So they talk about defining moments in life, and for you, you know, it worked out in the end. So it's crazy, huh?
Definitely. I mean, I always say that Coach Gary and Dylan know Coach well too. Coach Gary have a little vision, I think. You know, going there and see a good goalkeeper or a decent goalkeeper is not enough to just give a full scholarship. It's so many factors and so many limitations that the college coaches had to deal with every day, like NCAA, legibility and rules and multiple rules than in this country goes on and on. Coach Gary have that vision. I can't believe it, and he saw me 2 days and point his hands on the fire for someone that he knew for 2 days, you know, probably get some resources here, asking the club how I was, what mindset here and there, but it's still to me not being enough, you know, like
definitely.
You it's massive responsibility and it's a lot on me as well, you know. I say yes to him when I didn't know Winger at all, when I didn't know what difference is between D1 and D2 or D3. You know, so it's a lot of me as well. It's a lot.
And just on that, Dylan, I want to ask you, obviously you came, you know, to Wingate later on in the picture, but what do you remember of Pablo from, you know, your initial days and meeting him for the first time?
I remember we were all brought into the change room, introduced formally. And Pablo was the captain, obviously, whenever I first arrived. So, like, to make us all feel welcome, we had to do a bit of an introduction. But Pablo spoke very modestly about his national team. One of the first days I arrived at Wingate, we went to Helms where we had the barbecue. Pablo and Victor cooked the food, the priceless night. All the boys are all interchanging and stuff, getting to know each other. Players are playing like two-touch football tennis in the back. It was a really good night for team bonding. But Pablo got up and I remember him. He shared his life story, and we'll not get into it in detail. But I just remember thinking that if he can do it and he can be as personal with his life story, it's saying a lot because he didn't know any of us. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes to share your personal experiences can be very tough. But he was able to come up and threw himself right in the limelight. But by doing that there, he was making the rest of. We had a lot. Did we have 12 new players last year, Pablo? Or yeah. Whenever the freshman year? And the rest of us all, because he was able to do that, then the rest of us all felt very comfortable. And then we had just different speeches, standards, goals. Like, they're all defined. I played in, like, at my other university, we didn't have that type of leadership. Whereas now, Pablo's obviously had the experience of having players like that. He's learned from it. He says, yeah, I like that. And now he brought it into our locker room. And I'm sure he's bringing it into Tormenta. He was captain of Tormenta last year, first season as a pro. And that says a lot about that as well.
Absolutely. And just reading up on you, Pablo, that was one of the most impressive things about you. But we'll sort of get into that later on as to how your role developed, you know, as a leader in the team. But I want to take you back to your freshman year, you know, 2015. An unbelievable first year. I mean, you win SAC Freshman of the Year, you know, all region as well, I think, the tournament MVP. So can you, you know, recall that, and what attitude should players that are going into the freshman year have, and what attitude did you have going into your freshman year?
So it's funny you mention all the thing, and you know, this freshman of the year, SAC goalkeeper of the year, and all this, or SAC freshman of the year as well, a Wingate. that is what the people can see it, you know. But the people cannot see it, how many nines, how many cry, how many in the darkness I had to deal with. You know, especially my freshman year, where that we talk about the not being able to speak English. And pass all my classes and all my grade, which decent GPA. Take a lot, you know, take a lot of my effort, and the people that were around me. I always try to get people in my circle that actually bring something to me, you know, like help me with influence and positive thing. And we super early in life, we know what is good and what is bad. So it's a lot on us then make the decision which people we let into in our life. So definitely the mindset, and going back to your question about the freshman year, is I was so hungry. I was so hungry to get better and better and better. I never looked at I wanna win this, and which an outcome like focus on the outcome. Mm-hmm. I focus a lot in the process. I focus a lot on being authentic. I focus a lot and show people than who really I was in that moment and I am. And that is the authenticity that helped me probably to be real, you know, to get to people and hopefully have influence. Then that is what is my motivation every day. It's a mindset that I look back now, and to be honest, I train hard and I work hard to hopefully be that freshman of the year. But I never in the back of my mind was like, oh, I want to be freshman of the year. I want to be freshman of the year. I want to be freshman. I want to be the best I can be today. I want to be the best I can be in this moment. And I believe that doing that, the result will take care by itself.
Yeah.
So that is I get so many awards and so many trophies, and I never understand because I didn't know that probably the lads from another country will come to America and they will say, in America, you will get award for, they can make award for anything. And and I have unfortunately I have the opportunity to get a lot of them, but wasn't just me. Was a lot of me, but was a lot of the people around me. Mm-hmm. Coach and teammates and my roommates and the families of my roommates that welcomed me. Unbelievable. But I believe they were that open to me for how open I were to them. You know, I never covered then I can't speak English. I never covered, I never lied, and this is who I am and this is who I am. I really try to do my best every single day to be the best I can be. And people, I believe people appreciate someone that is being authentic, no? It's not taking some mask and cover or try to show something that is not true.
I think that's fantastic. I think one of the most important things you highlighted there is that people, you know, in college in general, and Dylan, you can probably testify on this because we've all been, you know, international students in a different environment, a new culture, but it's not always good times. There's times that you miss home, you know, you struggle. But one thing I want to ask to you both, Dylan, if you want to touch on this first, then we'll go on to Pablo. Do you think the tough times make you a better player and a better person overall?
For sure. And like, although it may not feel good at the time, you need to step out of your comfort zone to grow. So if you're comfortable and you're happy enough doing the same things, you're not going to get better. Do you know what I mean? And Pablo says he had to step out of his comfort zone, didn't speak English. And that there must have been a massive challenge in itself. But like, even I would say I'm a homebird and I love being around my house and around my family. Like, it's a really hard thing to do. But see, looking back on it, having just finished, it's the best thing. See, in regards to the life lessons it teaches you, the different culture, the social things it teaches you, different cultures and stuff. Like, it's all priceless. But these are all things outside of football that you learn through football. And like, I can say that it's amazing, and it is amazing. But like, until you experience, and people like Pablo, he's from Chile. We had players from all over. You're playing with people from all over the world. And on the pitch, like, it can work, it might not work, but see, off the pitch, you learn new things and you get on really well with some things. You don't like other cultures. It's just, it's all different mentalities. And
well, just on that, I just want to ask you for a second, because obviously you came in as a junior transfer, right, when Pablo had been there a couple of years before you. So how easy did it make your life, you know, transitioning into Wingate with people like Pablo around you?
Very, very good. I've always had like leadership roles whenever, like, I've always been expected to do more than just play. Do you know what I mean? And I strive under that pressure, but to have almost someone to look up to that's leading for, like, leading by example is the best way to do it. And it's more than just, it's not just saying, right, boys, get your act together here. It's you're leaving. Pablo was our cleaner. Pablo would have been the last to leave the change room. He was the one washing our laundry. He was a senior, 3-time All-American, and he's washing my laundry. It was just a transfer, only been there a matter of days. Do you know what I mean? It's them simple, humble things that make all the difference. But by doing them things, then the next wave of players will understand and they have to do them things. And then it's a good...
And just on that, Pablo, did you, you know, at the time, did you recognise that those sort of things were having a positive impact on players like Dylan, or was it just second nature to you and you just kind of did those things because that's what, you know, you are about? You talk about being authentic and things like that. So did you just do them things without, you know, thinking of the positive consequences you were having on your teammates?
No, definitely no. My only consequence than I was thinking, it was made the program even better than what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and that take responsibility from every single player, from every member of the staff, to make the place where we are even better than what it is. You know, we don't want to stay in that comfort zone that Dylan is saying. And when I get to Wingate, we didn't have the laundry system that Wingate have right now. You know, and now you look back and I feel that I have a little bit of help, that I have a little bit of my influence, and now that I visit Wingate back and look, then every player have their basket, every player have their towel, every player have they are living in a very professional environment than 5-6 years ago were not there, you know, wasn't there.
I think that's fascinating. Yeah, one thing I want to ask though, on that, so you were instrumental in creating, right, this family environment where everybody felt welcome and included and things like that. But at the end of the day, as a goalkeeper, there's only one shirt available, right? There's only one position. So how do you, players coming in that maybe haven't experienced that college environment anymore, how do you, you know, fight for the number one shirt, but also maintain that environment around you? Because everybody wants each other's shirt, right, at college level, especially at the top.
I know. I think it's difficult, you know, and sometimes you contradict yourself because you try to make everyone together as a leader and someone that care a lot for the program. But at the same time, when you cross the white line inside, it's you, you know, it's you against everyone and it's you who want to get that pro contract. I think understand the role for each single player, I think helps a lot to give the culture well in the team. Victor, that was the second the other goalkeeper that were a Wingate, Victor, he's from Brazil. He's one of my best friends, you know, and I think we can have that relationship because we respect each other. We compete as a gentleman. We understand the only one can have the goal for a want, and according to that, is a lot on the coaching staff as well. You know, the coaches build this, try to make sure that the roles are clear, but at the same time, everyone have the possibility to have some chance, because if you as a coach, you told to, let's say you have two keepers and you told one of them, you said, you know what, you are not playing any minute, it's so hard to keep him motivated and pushing the free score keeper, you know. So one thing is have the role very clear, and another thing is like kind of like kill someone to protect the other one. You know, you have to like keep that culture and that question that who will play a little alive, mm-hmm. to make sure that the competition is there every day. But definitely it's a very difficult question. It's a very tough one for me because I worry a lot about the family environment. Then I believe that would be the consequence of what happened inside the field. That would be a reflection of what happened inside the field. But also at the same time, when I crossed that white line inside, I was a lion and a very hungry boy looking for my pro opportunity.
Yeah, love that. So then, obviously, we've talked in the majority there about your freshman season, but talk to us about your sophomore season. Dill, I don't think you're quite there yet. You joined the year after, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put that, but this was obviously a very successful season for Wingate. You know, you win the national title, right? Do you want to just talk to us about that season as a whole and your memories of what was special about that year?
Yeah, I mean, the people, you know, the people I have no idea where the ring is. I guess the trophy is where coach's office. But the thing I remember every day is the relationship I built with the people, you know, with the player, with the coaching staff that year. Mm-hmm. I value super highly the relationship and this lifetime than relationship that Wingate gave to me. Definitely was a special year because you see some results, you see some outcomes being real and getting there. But if I had to say something, is the group of the lad, then we have a reason. We have a purpose why we was playing, why we was going to training every single day. We probably, if you told me in the preseason, nobody believed it, then we would be a national champion. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody. We were very close my freshman year, like a couple games into the nationals rounds. And my sophomore year, the people start like talking about, oh, it's a good team, it's a big player, it's an experienced player, it's a couple new players, and they bring like great potential. They can do something, but to think that in preseason that somebody will be a national champion is way, way too soon, and also is super far from Wingate. That it's a very a small program, you know, it's a top program in D2, but at the same time, it's from a small school.
Mm-hmm. Just on that, Pablo, like obviously winning a national championship is a very, very hard thing to do. Like to show the type of character that people need to have to win a national championship, obviously, you've got the likes of Rossi, Axel, who's got a bit of magic and stuff, but talk about your surgery and the luck involved and playing a couple of days after surgery. And you share your experience from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that year is a little special for me. I deal with 5 days before our first round in the Nationals. So we did an amazing season before that because we was winning every single game. I remember we were like 14-1, maybe we lose just one game in the conference cup. But how we did that well and we never lose a single game, we were ranking number one, so we were in the nationals already. And then we have a break of 5 or 6 days. And one Saturday night I start feeling some pain in my like appendicitis zone area. And I wasn't feeling like bad at all. I went to the gym and I did a physical movement that day. And during the afternoon, I started getting scared a little bit. No pain at all, but scared. Long short story, I called the doctor and the trainer of the team and say, you know what, I'm being feeling something in my appendix area. And he said, you know, go to the hospital. And if it's nothing, it's better safe than sorry. So yeah, I went right to the hospital with one of my teammates, get to the hospital, and yeah, my appendix, I was getting there and had to get a surgery. So I get a surgery Sunday. I was at home that Sunday night, and and start my recovery, and the team play the first round of the National Friday.
Is this just the conference stage? Are you in the tournament at this point?
Now in the tournament, the national tournament.
Wow.
Now this playoff, you win, you keep going to.
And they were playing limestone. It was limestone.
Was limestone the first round?
Limestone were a good side.
Yeah. So and then was Monday, and I have a doctor appointment Wednesday. And been talking to my coach and everything, and say, coach, I wanna be in the field. I feel that I can do it, and I know how massive for everyone, for my teammates, would be having the opportunity to be on the field. So at the same time, I was being responsible and being concerned than Victor, that was the other goalkeeper. He was 100% ready for goal, you know. And the only thing I told to my coach was, I will do everything possible, everything I can control to be part of. And if we would die in the field, I want to die with them. So I went to a doctor. The doctor said, of course, you cannot play. But I know you will. So just be smart. And if something happens, you have to have the ambulance next to the field. So in agreement with me, the coaches, and the athletic trainer, we decided to try. And I play that Friday.
So just give us a timeline then. So you discover you've got appendicitis, right?
Saturday.
On the Saturday. You have your surgery on the
Sunday morning.
On the Sunday morning. And you're back playing in a playoff game on
Friday night.
You had to get a big wrap, didn't you? Have to get wrapped up. Yeah. And imagine surgery on a Sunday is no small deal. Like there's a hole in your body.
I believe that is a big message to my team in the locker room when the trainer and all the doctor were making me ready.
Yeah.
And everyone was looking, thinking like, well, this guy can go to the war and kill someone, or this is crazy. Something can happen inside the field.
You know, I'm just thinking about that now, right? So you sat in the dressing room and you see, you know, your captain, your leader, you know, your goalkeeper there, and he's getting strapped up. He's literally had surgery on the Sunday. Like, what that must do for morale? If I think, you know, he's ready to potentially really hurt himself on the pitch. I can't imagine how motivating that must be for the rest of the team.
No, that year we have a senior captain, Rossi, and actually he's playing pro as well.
Yeah.
And I always been saying, like, I don't need the band to change my personality. I wear the same person and try to influence in others in the same way with the band and without the band. But I strongly believe that what my teammates and coaches see in that moment when all the doctors and halftime checking and open all what they did to make sure nothing were out of a place, and
yeah,
I think was big moment for me and was big moment for others to see that as well.
Even during the game, you pulled off a wonder save to win the game, didn't you? And I think after that there moment, from that there timeline going right through and then saving the boys right at the end, I think it was like the 87th minute or something, you tipped one around the corner, around the post, over the bar.
Yeah, no, I think was in the right the standard of the game. That was probably the save that you remember is in another with Pfeiffer.
Oh, right.
With Pfeiffer, that was four days after that game. And I played three more games with the same protocol, you know, like the same what the doctor covered me, that area and everything there.
Just on that, Pablo, so this is obviously your title-winning season. At one point, you kind of stand there and think, you know what, this could be our year. All this has happened, all the adversity, you know, I've had to overcome surgery. Are you starting to think when you're beating Limestone, when you're beating Pfeiffer, that, you know, this is going to happen this year? This is a special team and it's destiny, if you like.
Yeah, I think we start feeling that when right after Pfeiffer.
And Pfeiffer was what round was that?
Was the second round after Limestone.
Okay.
And when that happened, because we lose in the second round of the national, in the same round, mm-hmm. in the year before,
oh, yeah.
we lose against Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer.
Oh, really?
And the year after, than we win, we play with Pfeiffer at Wingate. So the location was different between from one year to the other.
Yeah.
And we knew that Pfeiffer was an amazing team, great, great, great players.
Am I wrong in thinking they were defending champions at the time?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they were.
Okay, so this is huge. This is a huge game.
That was huge. I mean, we knew between Wingate and Pfeiffer that was the team that you can see it, like for record, for a statistic, for everything that what they did during the season. Then there could be a big chance to whoever passed that round. Can get to the final, but as soon we end that game with Pfeiffer was 1-0 for us. We started smelling this like,
boy,
it's more like it's closer than what we actually think.
And one thing I wanna, I'm always intrigued about this because you know I think back to you know when I was playing at college and stuff like that in the big games. So you get to a national final, right? Are you nervous going into the national final? What's your mentality going into the final? You know, I'm so intrigued because it's such a big build-up, right? It's a massive occasion. It's the first time in Wingate's history. Am I wrong in saying that or right?
No, you're right. You're right. First time in Wingate history and it's the first national title for any team in the SAC conference too.
Okay, so just talk us through that day, the day of the national final.
Nervous. Nervous. I would lie to you if I say no. We were good. We knew that. No. Nervous. Nervous. We were the small team, the small college that never been where we were, and probably we wasn't the favorite ones, you know. So yeah. From that you wake up, of course you're thinking on the game and nervous. Nervous, it's nervous everywhere. You can see it, but as soon the whistle sounds and that nervous is out of the picture, and we believe each other, and we believe in the program, we believe in coach. What the purpose of why we do things more than yes, oh, we need to win this game. However it is, we knew that it's important. Everyone knew it's obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment is when I think coach did a great speech. He reminded us why we was doing things.
Yeah, definitely so.
And that, I think he's a lot on him. At that moment, you can say, you don't need to say anything to motivate your player because it's the final. You know, it's probably the most important game that many players never played before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great reminder, and that coach, in my opinion, he did a great job reminding us why we do what we do.
Okay, and we're gonna obviously skip over a massive party. You win the national final. You know, you get awarded All American again, and all the other accolades from that season. At what point do you think, you know, I've got the potential to go far here, on a personal level? Are you aware of that at that point? Is professional on your mind at that point, or you know?
I were to thinking that I wanna be pro way before I get to Wingate. Wingate to me was I will go to Wingate and get my degree, and hopefully keep playing pro. And if I cannot play pro, I will have the option that I have with my degree. Then at least I will have something.
Mm-hmm.
Then before I was 10 year or 12 year in Colo-Colo, and after that I didn't have anything. You know, anything to like prove to like say, I will not go to a normal job and told them, say, no, I play football, I'm very good, I play in Colo-Colo. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, if you make it, you don't make it. But yeah, definitely after my second year, and when my college career start getting to the end.
Mm-hmm.
The pro plan, the looking for that and living a lifestyle, then would not be a big jump from college to pro if would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the degree give me a freedom to tell everyone, then if I don't play football anymore, I will be okay. I think I will be successful in life because I have my degree. Oh, before having my degree, to tell someone then I don't play soccer anymore, I was scared. I was like freaking out because I didn't have anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. And just on that, Dylan, obviously you come into the picture the year after. And, you know, Pablo's talked about how hungry he was and, you know, how hard he worked and stuff like that. Was it obvious for you? Was it obvious for all the other boys coming in, like, this is the level that you need to get to?
For sure. Pablo had the best passing in the team. And as a midfielder, that's hard to take. Do you know what I mean? So you're seeing boys, like, hitting sidewinders, zinging balls 40 yards and stuff. And it's small, different small, like, percentages that add up to make you a better player. But whenever you're, like, there's players in your team that can do that sort of thing, like, you learn off them. Like, without thinking about it, you're thinking, if I tried, just all the different techniques. And then even this year, we had some very good players technically, and you can learn off that there. But like whenever it comes to taking your game to the next level, it's a minor details that make the difference. Do you know what? Anyone can go out and hit free kicks for an hour and score a free kick on a Saturday. But see, doing the extra gym work, doing the stretching as well, looking after your body, eating well, drinking the water, like all them things. Like the best players that I've played with, and they all do it. Do you know what I mean? There's no point going halfway. You either have to be fully committed or you're not. And I think it's fair to say, whenever it came to looking after your body and stuff, even now you're still posting the yoga pictures and stuff, aren't you, Pablo?
Yeah.
Just on that then, Pablo. So, advice for any freshman going into the first year, whether it's a goalkeeper or, you know, any other position, What can guys be doing to, you know, optimize their time in college and sort of take the game to the next level?
Well, I will give a little bit of my negative experience before to advise someone to what to do or what was more effective to me.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I was coming from a very competitive environment.
Yeah.
Then every day inside my locker room, everyone was looking to get to the first team. So we was like going out and we knew that somebody was like a little down. We had to like, hey, we are here because we want to be there. We want to be in the first team. When I moved back to college, I was doing the same. And sometimes I regret this because I demand too much. And I crossed that line of boundary probably than demanding too much from players and probably they never have the same goals than me. You know, I always my dream was going after college and going pro. But that doesn't mean that the other 23 players part of the roster have the same goals. It's many of them that they wanna be in the marketing field, in the finance field. I wanna be a businessman and. Different, you know, medicine and whatever. So they was looking and leaving this college as opportunity to pay their scholarship, have their degree, and then moving on in what they was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
That is perfectly fine, but take me 2 years to understand that inside my locker room, players doesn't have the same goal than me. You know, so I was demanding a lot from players sometimes, and they were. They was never thinking to go pro after college. And about the mindset to get in the college, I would say it's be consequence of what you say and what you do. It's so easy to go to college and talk to your college coach and you know what, I wanna go to the next level, I wanna play pro after college. But your action doesn't match with what you say.
Yeah.
And lifestyle and all the details that we know, what is good, what is bad, what we made you better, what you made you know better.
Mm-hmm.
We go to college in an age that we think we know more than what we actually know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like this the alcohol issue, the relationship and all this Paris and stuff than we know what that happened in college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of people or a lot of players, then sometimes we talk way more than what we actually were doing. So
yeah,
definitely just be consequent. So if you are not saying anything or selling like false stuff, probably you're good, and that is allowed to be inauthentic, you know, than we talk before.
I love that. You've got to be able to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. Everybody, you know, there's a million kids out there that say they want to be a professional footballer, right? But the ones that actually make it are the ones that walk the walk. Dale, you've played with a lot of good players in your time, not only at Wingate, but do you think that is the case? Do you think that the guys that end up making it, it is a lot just absolute hard work, graft? And like Pablo says, they walk the walk.
Yeah, if I'm being brutally honest, the best players that I played with as a kid haven't cut it, and they've went to high level clubs in England and Scotland. And the reason why they haven't cut it is because nothing to do with their talent. They could, on a talent basis, they're there for a reason, and they're top clubs for a reason. But to make it to the pro game and to make it to a good level, you've got the grind. You can't. There's no shortcuts. And you can be sure with every kid in the world that wants to be a professional footballer that their one session you skip, or that their one rep that you skip, someone else is doing twice the reps that you're doing to try and get to where you are. So you need to, like, if you're serious about playing as a pro and being a pro, every single percent adds up. There's no point saying, oh, I want to be a pro, but I'm going out drinking on a Saturday night with my mates. Fair enough, some people need a blowout like one a couple of times a year maybe, but most of the pros don't do it. Do you know what I mean? If you really are serious about getting to the next level, you need to do everything you can, or else it's gonna come back to bite you. And that's not just drinking, that's everything from stretching, your gym work, developing physically, your nutrition, your drinking habits, your technical training sessions, like keeping your fitness up to high standards, like all the stuff that you don't want to do is all the stuff that you have to do if you're wanting to take your game to the next level.
And just on that, so Pablo's thought there about, you know, talking the talk and walking the walk. Did Pablo do that in college? You can give a first hand insight. Did he walk the walk as well?
For sure. The boys, even last year, Pablo's not part of the team. So Pablo was away at Tormenta. Obviously, their season finishes, but we were still playing. And where my apartment was, it overlooks the soccer pitch, but I can see the training pitch as well. So our training session, we had to be on the pitch for 6:45. I would get up, make my breakfast and stuff, but as soon as they open the blinds, the goalkeeper lights are on already. Pablo and Sam's out there whenever I'm just waking up. I'm a player, he's in the off season, and he's out at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't think I need to say anymore. Do you know what I mean?
100%. And I just want to go to this moment then, Pablo, that, you know, you realise your ambition of becoming a professional footballer, obviously, Tormenta comes into the equation. Talk us through where that came into play. Was it a phone call? Was it a conversation with your coach? Where did that take place?
So my coach, the winger, Coach Gary, he kind of like, kind of protections or something, like he didn't allow me to play in the summers. In the summer, then, where back in the days is called PDL, and now it's called USL 2, mm-hmm. and where the multiple college player play in the summer, and they show in a higher, a little bit standard, and where coaches recruit a lot from professional teams. So I didn't play any summer because my coach probably were thinking that probably we get some chance to transfer and get a better college and stuff. And I always promised him my 4 year at Wingate, don't matter what, because 4 years at Wingate was not enough to say thank you to him for everything that he did for me. Even then, I understand the difference now about D1, D2, big school or a small school. That at the end of the day, didn't matter to me. It was all about the persons and the principles. And my last summer, my senior year, that summer, Coach Gary have a contact with Tormenta coach. Tormenta was a team that was playing in the USL 2. And Tormenta, after that season, they knew and they were going to pro at USL League One. So they recruit that summer players that they believe that they can have an opportunity moving to the pro. So my coach from Wingate sent to Georgia for the summer. He figured out everything, where I would live and which all the club. Before that, I didn't know anything. I didn't know coach. I didn't know any player. No contact by me was just through my college coach. And I played that summer for them. And after that summer, they offered me a contract for the following year. I had to come back to college and play my college senior year. And after I played my last game, me and coach from Wingate, Gary, we made the decision. We made the decision actually between have the possibility to go to the combine of the MLS or to sign for this new USL League One club that was Tormenta FC. Mm-hmm. We ended decided to sign for Tormenta because I knew the club. I knew how the club worked because I spent the past summer. So that was massive, but also my international spot. You know, if I'm going to the combine and if I get invited to the combine, try to get something there, which being a goalkeeper and using one of the international spots for the teams is a lot of risky. You know, I know what I say is impossible, but it's risky. So we decide to be safe and sign for Tormenta. And Tormenta, of course, give me the international spot. Then right now, I'm one of the international in their roster. And that is how I signed for Tormenta.
And talk to us about that. Has anything changed since, you know, you turned professional? Has your approach to anything, you know, from how you are in the locker room to how you are on the pitch, has anything changed since you've arrived in the pro game?
I would say yes. I would say I'm spending a lot of time on my mental training. I'm using sports psychology and this psychology aspect. Try to get better and better and get that knowledge of who I am, be the most authentic I can be to myself. And that will allow me to be authentic with others. That is something that is being changing for me in the pro. Also, of course, the level. I had the opportunity to play with players and the quality is higher. And that made you better. The competition made you better and better and better. But definitely, I will spend, and I've been spending a lot of time on my mental training. The same whole, and I say this to everyone in my life around me and my teammates, is the same time that I use working my technique, my gym session. Mm-hmm. I would like to be equal and be with my mental and how I assume situation, how I respond to situation, how I identify emotions. Than moving to pro, you deal with more stress, especially in the goalkeeper position, playing with people, playing against people, playing with your people, playing with your fans, and stuff like that. You know, and the older you get, the most complicated things or decision you have to make. You know, I'm in a stage of my life that I'm thinking what is next in what is the next step in my personal life, in my relationship, in my future as a football player. And being international, you're always there. You know, I don't have a green card. I'm just international, so I need a club that give me the opportunity to stay in the country to be able to do my job. Otherwise, I would have to come back to my home country.
Mm-hmm. Just on that, Pablo, talk a wee bit about the level. Obviously, a Colo Colo, best team in Chile, but that you went to USL One, and then I remember you to tell me about your trial up at Washington and stuff, and that's not MLS, but just talk about the standard of players at that level. And obviously, like looking from the outside in, if you haven't experienced it, you think the MLS is sort of looked down upon because people think it's all Americans. Do you? And then if the league below that, you would just knock it off and you just say, yeah, that's probably the standard's rubbish. But from your own experience, and obviously Colo Colo's a high level, and then whenever you're at Tormenta, that's a high level. Washington is a high level. Just talk about the caliber of player at those levels.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different football. The football down then is in South America, and the quality of the player from Colo Colo is super higher. I would say the highest than I see. I had the opportunity to see in trainings and in a very close perspective. But it's not the physicality and strongness than is being in this country in America. I think here you find player than a massive player than a faster than a quicker, and also they can play football. The standard is, I would say, is super high, and this was my problem that I didn't know about before I come to America. You know, when I had to make that decision, I go to college or I stay here, I was saying, and now if I go there, I will not play in pro anymore, you know, because I believe then in America, the soccer is not that popular. Nobody plays soccer, you know, more people play the American football or baseball or a sport, basketball. And I was completely wrong. I get here and I get surprised how so much talent and how much work they do, you know, how much extra work they do. In South America, find players, then they can work a little extra, then they can work double, then they can go to the gym, then they can do this a little extra training, mental training, then they can do a little bit of yoga. And extra stuff than we believe that help is so difficult. When you get here, the players do everything possible to be in a higher level, be better. And that is a big difference, I would say. Talking about the standard is super, super higher. And I believe that standard is higher because players are smart. A player are able to point themselves in a vulnerable place that allow, you know what, I need mental training. And that doesn't mean that I'm devil. That doesn't mean that I'm weak. That doesn't mean that I'm crazy if I go to the sports goal. That is opposite. It's even helping you to take a better response in adversity moment.
100%. What Dylan said earlier about that, you know, the best players that he's played are the little things, the little margins, right? I think that highlights it down to a T, you know. Having the, you know, the awareness that, you know, maybe mentally I could be a little stronger. Me and Dylan have had this conversation over, you know, the last 2 weeks a lot. And the lads that generally go higher, the players that go higher, mentally, the more mature, you know, mentally, they're further along the line than people, you know, that don't go as far. So, 100%, and... you know, hopefully you continue to develop and, you know, only get stronger in that regard. But yeah, no, for me, obviously Dylan knew a lot about you already, Pablo, and he gave me an introduction and he told me, you know, this is going to be a good one. And, you know, when somebody says that, you're like, yeah, I'll make my own mind up. But it's honestly been so, so interesting. The level of commitment, especially the story about the surgery, I love that one, and I'll probably tell other people about that one. But I just can't thank you enough for, you know, coming on. I think this is going to be invaluable for, you know, every, you know, from freshmen to people in college already. I think it captures a, you know, a real wide audience. So is there anything, Dil, Pablo, to sort of end on? Do you want to summarize anything or put a message out there at all?
I'm easy enough, so I'm at. No, I enjoyed it. So did Pablo. Good to chat to you again.
No, it's great. It's been my pleasure, boys. And thank you again for the opportunity. And no, I don't have much than what I say.
Just keep your eyes on you for the future, huh?
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much, Pablo.